Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope.
It's nothing you did.
It's not you, it's me.
It's not you, it's you, but you didn't cross me.
And the Bulldog.
Why did I choose? Why did I just stay in school?
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Are you somebody that when it seems like everybody says the same thing, you start to question that? Or are you the kind of person that will just sort of like believe it? I don't mean anything that can be proven, just like a prediction or whatever it might be. It doesn't have to even be within sports. I am the kind of person that gets nervous when everybody seems to say the same things. In fantasy football, this is something that I have to constantly remind myself, because if I don't, I'll always end up ignoring the same players and drafting the same players. Like, you want to make sure not to do that. What is not being noticed here? What is not being said? In terms of this year's NFL season, this has been a frequent topic of conversation in here, but I just spent 4 days on the road, listened to a lot of content, talked to a lot of people. Only a couple of my friends that I was with were Bills fans. Like, it was mostly people that aren't. Of course, I'm listening to people that aren't and meeting people that aren't Bills fans. And even no matter who they're a fan of, if they're a fan of any team. In fantasy, you find people that are not a fan of any team. Everybody seems really down on the Dolphins. And also, everybody is really into the Patriots. Another team, the Jets. Well, the Jets are bad. They're always bad. Justin Fields is bad. But then again, there are people who are like sort of into it. I, for some weird reason that I can't explain, tend to think optimistically for the Jets, which has rarely been justified. But I don't know. There's something deep within me that makes me feel that way, no matter who's on the team. Some scar tissue from the 80s, maybe, when growing up watching the Bills, you know, not always would they lose to the Jets, but there's something there, I think, deeply rooted. But, you know, there'll be people that will talk up Fields. In fantasy, they love Fields because he's going to maybe rush for 1,000 yards and probably not get benched. So, you know, most teams, you have this. I think the Bills are relatively speaking, also this. Where, I mean, they're a betting favorite. Again, they're a prohibitive division betting favorite. But, you know, skeptics, what's going to happen in the playoffs? Maybe about the defense. Maybe this is you. Like, what are you worried about? You could find things, whether that's specific to their roster or Patrick Mahomes related, whatever it is. It's out there. Compared to the rest of their division, though, I mean, they look like a very deserving favorite. It's just, do you know anybody that thinks the Dolphins are going to be good? And it's interesting because they've been pretty good. Like, the Dolphins are not the Jets. They're not a team that wins five games, and where it's not even interesting to talk about them. Like, they won't be good at all. I can't find anybody. It's a different reason every day. It's injuries to the secondary. It's, you know, Tyreek Hill's attitude. It's Devin Achane's calf muscle. Like, it's something, it's Tua's concussions. Or it's just Tua being Tua. Like, I can't find anybody who's buying it. And that's a little scary. I mean, I'm not going to tell you they'll be good because of this. But I'm the kind of person that questions it when it sounds like everybody is one note. And likewise, New England is just like everybody's darling now. Who's negative about the quarterback? Have you heard anybody? The worst you get on Drake May is, you know, well, he isn't proven or something like that. But you hardly ever I'll stop saying you. Maybe you are completely the opposite of me or have never heard anybody talk about Drake May. But I never hear anything but kind of glowing praise and excitement about him. This is from hanging out with Pat Corain a lot on ADP Chasing, who's like the biggest draft May bull, I think, maybe in the world. Drafts him constantly. He's always sort of trying to build teams around him. 2 years in a row of this. Maybe there's a little bit of that in me here, but I'm nobody sounds too critical. Before, I was talking about, you know, Bills quarterbacks going back and what preseason sounded like about them. What did preseason sound like for J.P. Lossman? It's 21 years ago now, but, you know, still. What I would say to that, by the way, is, you know, mixed. You have everybody wants it to work. And you know there's talent for a guy to be drafted in the first round. And then you decide if you're not seeing what you want to see, how much that matters. Well, it's just the preseason. Well, you know, he's so young, and we sort of make excuses for him. With May, I mean, he was okay last year. Was he great? Was he any kind of generational prospect or anything? Like he was good. North Carolina, he was good. I just think it's kind of weird. Most teams, the range of opinions on this year's Chicago Bears is, remember Michael Hoyt earlier, this much? It's this much. Like, they're going to be terrible to, they're going to look at the talent, they're going to be great. You have a wide range of opinions on them. And that's most teams, not the Dolphins or the Patriots. You don't hear the Patriots as like they will win the AFC East. What you hear is kind of like how Adam Schefter tweets, you know, like, I wouldn't be surprised if they're better than you think, or something like that, which is really not saying anything. But like that's sort of the watered down version of what the buzz sounds like for New England. 803-0550 for your calls. I'm Mike Shope. Thanks for listening. Bulldog is off the rest of the week. I don't have the cuts yet. I don't know why. Like, there's probably some, does it have to be a good reason? There probably is a reason or a few reasons why the Bills have not announced them. Like most teams have, I want to say by now, at least I would think, I think I've seen at least half. The deadline is 4:00. I wonder, and I'm just sort of throwing this out there. When I talked to Sal earlier, he wasn't talking this way, but I wonder if there is some, just not confusion, but uncertainty about Trey White, like what they want to do there. What kind of injury is it? Like if he, this is what Sal and I did talk about. Like if they think, what would it be? So injured reserve, designated to return. You can put two guys on that list, which he would come back after four games. But you're stuck for four games. The Titans did this with their running back today, Tyjae Spears. High ankle sprain, designated to return IR, so four games. We'll see you then. They have that option with Trey White. We had this last year with somebody else. Decide maybe every year where you might be challenging to decide what to do. If this is a two-week injury, I have no idea what it is. If this is a two-week injury or 2 to 3, you know, it still might make sense to them to do that and take the four games so that you have the roster spot for someone else. Or, you know, maybe they think we want to, we want to gamble, maybe a little bit because we're in tough at corner, like the Bills. Like they might side on the, side of playing him and keeping him on the roster because they might think they really need him. That's always been this offseason with him. That's always been tough for me. When they signed him, felt kind of cool. I mean, he had a tough time with the Rams, probably a little bit better with Baltimore, but he's had big injuries. He's been in the league 8 years. What am I supposed to expect? I mean, he's obviously familiar with what the Bills are, and they are familiar with him, so that's a plus, I suppose. But what is really right to expect there? But, you know, for me, when they did that and the draft had yet to happen, well, they're going to draft a cornerback because they still need, like Sal would have said this too in our many conversations, that's still a position where they need a starter. And then they went and drafted Maxwell Hairston, in kind. And Hairston gets hurt. And we don't know from him yet either, right? Like, that's another one. I've been kind of assuming that he would go to IR, but that's not known yet. So maybe cornerback is the one. I think it probably would have to be. That's the one where they might have tricky decisions to make based on the physical outlook of those two players. Tyrell Shavers reportedly will make it. There was a drumbeat there for sure. Let me ask you this. I wonder if he's somebody that, you know, with all the kind of excitement about him, there's been plays in the preseason where you would predict, I think this would be a lot for me. Would you predict that he plays any kind of significant role in the offense? Which would probably have to mean somebody gets bumped.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, I don't know if I'm taking for granted that Samuel makes it. Elijah Moore, there could be some other move there, I suppose. We're still waiting to find out. The deadline was an hour and 15 minutes ago. That was where I was coming from on Shavers, which is, you know, he's been around for a couple of years. He made a few plays in the preseason. That's good. But is there really any room for him to matter on offense without an injury? So I'm thinking that, like, the plan would not be for him to play a role, but we do complain about their wide receiver talent all the time. Maybe I should want to push for this. I'm not ready to yet. Talk me into it. Talk me into Tyrell Shavers, you know, the preseason winner here, being somebody the Bills should, you know, feed, I guess. Talk. I'm not there. Talk me into that if you want. 803-0550 for your calls. Here is Noah next. Hi, Noah.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
So the topic I wanted to bring up is going to be a bit out of the blue, but I have been wanting to kind of bring it up as something that stood out to me during the AFC Championship game. And even as a fan sitting at home, I'm sure, you know, wherever you were watching it, right? I feel like everybody in the room with me as well could tell that Josh Allen was going to run a QB sneak. And I believe they ran it a total of 6 times, and they only converted it twice.
You mean in Kansas City?
Yes, in the championship game.
Okay.
So I've heard the argument plenty of times of, well, they run it every time because it's their best play. Yeah. But I feel like if I could see it coming and the Chiefs defense could see it coming too, my question is like, do you think that Joe Brady is lacking or even lacked creativity in those short yardage situations? Because it kind of felt like Buffalo just kept running straight into the teeth of the Kansas City defense instead of mixing it up or keeping them guessing or, you know, make it look like, hey, we're going to run this. This is the exact formation we go into every time we run this, and then try a swing pass. My concern is that January is going to come around, and we're going to do the same thing, or we're not going to have any answers. There's not going to be, like, any creativity as far as, you know, I even remember Allen one time, I believe, he said, like, oh, we don't want to show them everything. Well, then we got to the game and there wasn't anything new, right? So I don't know if he's maybe just saying that or what the situation is, but I'd just like to get your thoughts.
Yeah. Interesting thoughts, Noah. Thanks. I'm not at a point where I would label the Bills as, you know, not creative when it comes to that. I think that's the kind of play where creativity isn't really what's called for. But you're saying, you know, should they run a different play? I'm somebody that I think you might be referring to as somebody like this. Allen running is their best play. They really did run him in short yardage 6 times against Kansas City. I'm trying to, while you were talking, I was trying to count. I've got 4, and I'm not done. I'm in the third quarter. Wasn't it said that they always ran left on sneaks? Like, is that a lack of creativity, always wanting to, you know, go left? There was I can't picture this play. 4th and 1, third quarter, 4th and 1 at the Kansas City 33, Allen right end for 3 yards. Right end is probably like around the right end, not just like right guard. Of course, right end wouldn't mean right guard, but left guard on the play before, left guard, 2nd and goal from the 2, left guard, 3rd and goal from the 1, and then it's the Cook play where he stopped, but he leans the ball in. So that's, I think I've counted 4, I'm guessing the caller's right, 6 sneaks or short yardage runs, and you've got the second to last possession where, well, I guess that's what, that's the third to last possession because they scored on their second to last possession, the Samuel touchdown to tie the game. Prior to that is when he gets stopped, left guard on 4th and 1. I mean, I don't have a strong opinion or a criticism of a lack of creativity. I guess you could. I wasn't expecting to be won over necessarily by Joe Brady. Like, I didn't. I feel like the Dorsey exit was weird, and they waited for a game that they lost on a special teams blunder, as it happens, to make that move. And I guess you'd have to say that it worked out. I mean, they won almost every game after that and had a fine season last year, although they had great seasons with Dorsey as well. You couldn't argue that it didn't work out, I think. But I wasn't assuming that it would work out. I think, you know, with Allen here, you almost can't fail. But did the Bills become a team scheme-wise, motion, play action, all kinds of different things that would be, well, to use the caller's word, more creative? I wouldn't have guessed that they would, and I'm not sure that they have been more creative to the caller's sort of overall analysis. What they've done right that I think is the more interesting thing, and it's in keeping with what's happened around the league, is that they leaned into their ability to run the ball. And that's something that I would have, A, not advocated for, B, not really expected to work before it all started. But it has worked. Allen running isn't surprising to me because Allen running is, I mean, he's a beast. And so in these kind of 3rd and 3 kind of plays, right end, I mean, that kind of thing can come pretty easy to him. So there's that. But, you know, outside of him, I never really thought the Bills becoming more of a running team was in the cards or in their best interest, but they played it right, you know? And again, the whole league kind of forced teams like the Bills into this by how they lined up, what they did, lighter boxes, right? Like, they dare you now to run it, and the Bills were willing to do it, and they made it work. And that's, you know, Cook was the beneficiary of that, of course, and Allen too. And you tell me if you feel differently. I think going into this season, that probably continues. Maybe, I mean, every game is different. Every opponent will line up a little bit differently. But why wouldn't teams, after last year, go about just general philosophy, go about things the same way? I want you to need 12 plays to score on me, not 5. And if I back up, 2 high safeties, all that, then you're going to pivot and run the ball, and then, you know, maybe you'll get there, but you're going to have to execute for longer rather than me giving you, you know, easier shots at chunk plays and that kind of thing. I don't expect the league to go back until something else changes. And that means we might be looking forward to a year where, like last year, you know, not just the Bills, but a lot of teams will try to beat you on the ground, which is, you know, maybe not as exciting, but it worked. You know, that's what I would say. So my overall here is just like, I want to give Brady and their offense credit for that. I think they deserve credit for that. But in terms of the one play you're talking about, the quarterback sneak, I don't know, anybody else have a take? Like, what do you want to be different there? Someday, Josh Allen will slow down. And at that point, the Bills will have to come up with new ways to convert third and three than just having him, you know, run over linebackers and do what he does. Someday that changes. I doubt it will be this year. Maybe it's gradual, but I think for now, especially when you're trying to get that first title, we've seen the Bills like 2 years ago try to hold him back. Then they were 6-6 and they fired Dorsey and like, all right, enough. Let him out. And then the volume, his rushing volume significantly picked up. What do you think? 803-0550. It's an interesting discussion. I'm Mike Shope, back after the update here on WGR.
I think the biggest thing is when we go through our season and we look back at the season, we don't just focus on the good or only focus on the bad, because I think then you lose sight of the big picture. There were some times where some really good plays happened that the scheme might have been terrible and, you know, we just have a freak quarterback, or there might have been some plays that might not have went well and the execution wasn't good enough, but if I got in that situation again, would I call the same play? And so really just take an opportunity to just kind of dive in and just kind of look at everything in a whole. And one thing I can tell you, we obviously have to get better.
Yes. Joe Brady right there. Does not give you anything to work with in these sound bites. The battle continues. My personal effort to find anything interesting from a Joe Brady clip. I've yet to score on that one. He's a tough nut. You know, of course, that's just what I'm here for. Not what he's here for. I'm sure not playing the same game. Or maybe he is. Let's go to Mike next. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Mike. I'm not a huge Joe Brady fan. What that last caller before break, when he talked about the two of the three prior times being stopped in the same spot, he failed to mention that at the end of the Baltimore game the week before, we had a chance to clinch that game. We had a third and one at their like 22-yard line, and we tried that same play, and they stopped us. So three of the last four times it had been stopped. I just find that Brady has become very predictable. I mean, his usage or lack of usage of James Cook in the passing offense. I mean, the average spot that he caught a ball last year was within 1 yards of the line of scrimmage. To me, I think Josh Allen makes Joe Brady and anybody a quote-unquote good coordinator. I just don't think he's got a lot of innovative stuff that you know, you rarely see wide receivers running wide open. It's Josh making these great throws to the guys that are in tight coverage. You know, the Baltimore game earlier in the year, we've got your favorite term, momentum going for us, and he decides to do a trick play that turns into a turnover and the game's over. You know, I think he's got a lot to learn.
Well, okay. I already said to the previous guy how I feel about that. I think it's pretty harsh when you've got the results that the Bills have. But, you know, the same kind of thing has happened with Sean McDermott. You know, just whether he's a Josh Allen merchant, as they're starting to put it these days, or not. And I guess that argument is there. I think at the risk of sounding, you know, two-faced about it, of course, Allen is the reason, by far the biggest reason, that this all is going this well. But I think coaches have to get some respect for being able to succeed at the Bills level. I just think it has to be true. And my problem with the trick play logic is, like, what is creativity? I've got receivers who are thought to be unable to separate, but the coach can't get them open. Okay, well, if that's true, that's true. I've got a I'm down in a game, momentum. I'm down in a game against a good team, and I'm not getting very far doing my usual stuff. So I run a trick play, and I get beat on it. What's creativity? Like, that's probably in that bucket. When it doesn't work, though, you're a buffoon. I mean, that's just what trick plays are. So I would say, I was thinking about it some more, you know, during the last break. Is he uncreative? I didn't think of it before, but what I'd want to see more often on short yardage, especially if it's second down, is play action, you know, kill shot kind of stuff. You've got Coleman. You want Coleman to be somebody who can win down the field. If he's not open, then he can out-jump somebody and win down the field. That's why you got him. And, you know, even if it's not him, Palmer with his speed now, that's what I'd like to see the Bills do more often. Do I need third and two to be an option pitch or some sort of fullback lead or something that isn't a Josh Allen sneak? I don't think I do. But I'd like it if more often they would take chances. I mean, it did happen against Kansas City, but your odds of getting stuffed back-to-back with this guy are pretty long. And so take advantage is what I'd want to see him do. Take advantage more when it's not fourth down yet. If you're looking like you're at a part of the field where you think you're going to be going on fourth down, then maybe try something a little more aggressive on third or even second, especially second. Thanks, Mike. Tony's next. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Mike. Good afternoon. Hey, I got.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
A QB sneak against Kansas City. I didn't hear much talk about it, but I know I saw a lot online about the Chiefs almost jumping off sides and crashing down the line towards Josh's left, coming from the right side, and that was what led to their success. Mm-hmm. You know, but I don't know. I haven't heard much about that since, you know, in the offseason, because six times you would expect him to get at least four or five, but to get stopped six times, that was crazy.
He wasn't stopped all six, but they did. The caller's complaint was that they ran him what looked like mostly the same play on short yardage six times in the game, which might be right. But anyway.
Right. Okay, yeah, no, I got the numbers wrong, but he got stopped more that time, I think, than all season put together almost in that game. But anyway, so I just had a quick fantasy question for you. Brand new dynasty draft, league drafts coming up. They got the second overall. Guy in first overall is trying to trade that pick. I was going to offer next year's 1 and 3 and this year's second, so I can take Josh and Ja'Marr Chase first and second overall. You think that's a good deal?
It's a great deal for you. If this is a startup league, then the value of these picks are way higher than next year's. Like, a first round next year in a rookie draft would be worth like a seventh in your startup. Right? Okay. So, I mean, thanks, Tony. You're going to be drafting from everybody in the league. And next year, you're going to be drafting from the rookies. If it's a two quarterback league, Allen at 101 is fine. I think Daniels might be better, though, because Daniels has like 6 years on him now. Like, that's a pretty. Allen's been around, and Jackson too. I think in Dynasty, Daniels would be my quarterback one. You got to be a little bit brave there because he's only done it for the one season, but you get everything you want. I mean, he ran for almost 900 yards and maybe 8 touchdowns last year, was great throwing the ball. I think Daniels, I don't do any kind of my own rankings or whatever, and I haven't done a Dynasty startup this year, but I think Daniels would be, if it's a two quarterback league, I have the first overall pick. Like, you could pick Chase. You didn't have to pick a quarterback there, but those elite guys are, I think, worth it. I think Daniels would be my 101. Allen, Jackson, right there after him. Any of the three is fine. Jay is next. Hi, Jay.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Good. I just want to touch on that real quick and throw a curveball in.
Okay.
I believe that it's without a doubt a huge advantage for us to have a quarterback of Josh Allen's size, age, and speed to throw that element in the direct snap run. It's almost similar to the Wildcat, but you actually have a guy that can throw the ball. I had a friend of mine now. I didn't get permission from him, so I don't want to put his name out. He was on the Miami scout team. And we were just talking, and he said, why the Wildcat died? It died is because how many running backs can throw a ball from, let's just say, 5 to 7 yards in the air accurately? And we're talking about after maybe a 5-yard drop back. So that's, what, 10 to 13 yards in the air? So all defenses did was start crowding the line, because at first it was the element of surprise. But 90% of the time the Wildcat was running, it was a run. So it was no pass element. So the fact that Allen can audible out of that run, maybe if he sees it's a crowd on the left side, that gives us just such an element of surprise. And I believe that that's an advantage that we'll have forever. Well, obviously, while he's still young.
Sure.
My curveball is, I was talking to an older guy, and I just want to know your opinions on this. Okay. What do you think was the best era of the Bills? It was between, obviously, the late 80s, early 90s, 4 Super Bowl time Bills, league MVP on the Bills with Thurman, or this last 6-year run with Josh Allen, a league MVP on the Bills, 5 AFC East championships, as well as 2 AFC championship appearances.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I picked the latter. I picked the one of this year only because, now, his argument was the 4 Super Bowls. I was a little young, about 8 years old. Hey, you had to live it to be in it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, it was time of our lives going to 4 straight. My argument was the Allen era because of it ended the drought. Not only did we end the drought after 70 years of agony, we didn't just make the playoffs and then miss the playoffs. We've made the playoffs and been no lower than the 3rd seed every year. Always contended, never bounced out of the first round except for that one in Houston, obviously, breaking the drought. So I just thought it had a little bit more edge on this last 6 years than 88 to 93. I just wanted your opinion on that. Best era of the Bills.
Okay. I like your breakdown. I think, and you can tell me what answer I'm giving you by this, I think this team is better. These 6 years are, I mean, I don't have any problem saying that at all. I think these teams are better than those teams. Those teams would finish near the bottom in defense. This team doesn't lose. when they lose, it's by a fluke almost, including the playoffs. Not a fluke, but it's so close. So I think these teams are better, but I think that was a better era because they went farther.
And you know what? That's a very great point, because I did bring up two. We were only in one of the Super Bowls, which was the first one, blown out in two. I said the only playoff game that I consider a blowout, where I just feel like we never had a chance, was that Bengals game.
Yeah.
Every other game we were in it to the end, you know?
Yeah. Even the first loss in Kansas City, you're up 9-0.
No, in Texas. That was the Texans.
No, I mean the biggest loss to the Chiefs was that first AFC championship, but they were up in the game. Like, it got away from them. But Thanks, Jay. I enjoyed your question. What's the answer then? What's the best era? I mean, they weren't coming out of a 17-year drought in 1988, but they were coming out of a drought. Like they were coming out of the depths. They were worse than the drought Bills ever were pre-Kelly. I mean, the worst team in the NFL, back-to-back. One of the worst, if not the worst, 2-14, back-to-back. The drought Bills never gave you that. And I mentioned the other day, talking to Bulldog about a game I went to where there were like 20,000 people there. It's insane to think that that was real. So it wasn't as long as the drought, but it was something akin, you know, just like, wow, this team is good now. And winning the AFC Championship 4 years in a row. Come on. First one's insane. You've never had a Bills moment like it. Second one was gripping and nerve-wracking, but you won back-to-back. The third one in Miami is my favorite of them all. There's something about winning on the road where the place is just like quiet. Here's the Marino Dolphins. Every minute you heard about how, and why would this be true, by the way? You know, he never expected to have it be so hard to get to a second Super Bowl. Why would he not have expected it to be hard? Like, what is it supposed to be, easy? Like, whatever. And he never makes it back. And in your face, in your stadium, with that on the line, so good. That was my favorite. Then the fourth one, again, like, come on, this is a joke. Joe Montana Kansas City all fancy, and it was like a total mismatch. It got to be like an eye roll. They're winning the AFC Championship. It's like, oh yeah, okay. Right, of course, that's what happens. And this team has obviously not done that. I think, you know, what is this to say? I mean, the legacy of all this is on the line by what happens from here. You can make a six-year window with the Kelly Bills. You can make it his whole career. You know, you can go 88. You can go in just into his career to just out of it. You go 88 to 99. What, they're in the playoffs 10 out of 12 years. And those were incredible seasons. Maybe you get to a point here where it's 10 or 12 years and you can compare. And maybe the Bills will flip the script on winning in the AFC playoffs. Right now, their legacy is, like the Ravens, a great team, or if you can't call them great because of the results, a very good team that fell short. That has to change, or else that's what it's going to go down as, just kind of like it did for the Kelly Bills, you know? Just it was in the Super Bowl, not the AFC Championship or divisional round. Often, at least. Mike Schoep here, Bulldog is off. We're still looking for the cuts. I'll be here. Well, I'm not going past 7, right? I mean, that's as long as I'm willing to wait. I'm sorry. That's say what you want. That's what I'm giving you. Well, it's still not even 6. Lines are open for your calls, 803-0550. This is WGR. Welcome back. It is deadline day for NFL cuts. The deadline was 4. We do not have the Bills list yet. Are they being cheeky again this year? It's the last 2 years, same thing happened. Or is there some good reason? I don't know. I will not take it personally. I very much doubt it has anything to do with me. By the way, the Seattle Mariners catcher has 50 home runs. Cal Raleigh. I hesitated there because I wasn't sure how I wanted to deliver that. I didn't mean to condescend the Seattle Mariners catcher. But did you guys know that? Did you guys know that there's a player on the Mariners that has 50 homers and it's still August? 50 home runs in 129 games. Cal Raleigh. By the way, also, for all the times we've mentioned this on the reference sites, baseballreference.com in this case, and how everybody has a nickname that you'd never heard used before, he does not have his nickname on his page, the Big Dumper. It's like the most prevalent nickname in baseball, isn't it? Like just about right now, 50 homers. Is it controversial? Can we not? Is it swearing? What is the objection to putting the Big Dumper on his page? I mean, he doesn't seem to mind it. I don't know. I've never heard him talk, but if he did, they'd probably not call him that. He had 50 homers. Seems pretty comfortable in his skin and his nickname, I'm guessing. Does a home run record chase still matter? Does it only matter if the guy's on the Yankees or Otani? Can it, if a tree falls in the forest, if a Mariners player chases Judge or Maris or even Bonds, does it count? Like, does it rate at all? Of course it does. I mean, all of this is terrible to say. Just like, I mean, I'm not a hater or anything. It's just like Seattle might be the number one market for anonymity. West Coast, and just like they've never even made the World Series, just kind of a team. Even if it's like Tampa or something, their games are on when we're awake. If a guy on Tampa had 50 homers, I'd think I'd hear more about it. Maybe you're getting all the Cal Raleigh updates you could possibly handle. I don't feel like I am. 50 homers in August. His career high was 34. Still good. He's had more every year in his career. It'll be tough next year. 27, 30, 34, and 50 with 14 steals, by the way, for the Mariners catcher. He must DH some. I don't know. He must. No catchers playing behind the plate every day. The Yankee, one of the Yankee catchers is kind of interesting, Ben Rice. Homered last night. And, you know, you see him DH or even play first, I think, sometimes. But he's over 20 homers. Hit a huge long home run last night against Washington. 50, though. Does it exist in the world if it's happening with the Mariners? Of course it does. We'll take a break. Look for those cuts again. I'm just here doing that. 803-0550 to call in. Like Jay's question, comparing the Allen Bills to the Kelly years. That's there for you, too, if you want it. I'm Mike Shope, and this is WGR.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.